Welcome back to Your Zest Life. I'm your host, Genevieve, and what an exciting month we are heading into. Can you feel it? I gotta be honest, it's a little overcast here today, and we got a little bit of drizzle this morning, but I wanna believe that March is just getting the last bit of February blahs out, and then we're ready to get amped for spring. This week, I am joined by one of my favorite humans as I invite her back on the pod. I feel like I always introduce her the same way. You know her. You love her. I need Does that sound like, I think that sounded more like I just drank Sprite than an applause, but you get the point. Lauren Lee with Calm Point. I actually put in my notes, applause. So insert applause there. Can you tell I was vibing off of jelly beans when I put this intro together? I had a lot of sugar coming into this. So you'll have to stick with my squirrel-like energy today. I have to say, I love my convos with Lauren because they are a really good balance of joy, of laughter, and there was a lot of belly laughs in this, and also the positive insight that I feel I need at just the right time, which my hope then is that this hits for you the same way at the same time. And we also get to release some really exciting announcements, being that Lauren and I get to be part of Tree Fort, which is happening here in a few weeks. You'll have to listen to the full episode to learn more, as we also recap one of our recent adventures that led to those good belly laughs I was telling you about. This brought us to talking about the importance of our breath, how without it we have nothing, and with it we truly do have everything. We get real deep on you here. Lauren gifts us with a meditation that then leads us into chatting about our intuition. How do we follow our intuition? How exactly do we trust our gut? And more importantly, how do we trust our decisions? It is a jam-packed episode for you, gang, and I hope it brings a little zest into your life. Enjoy. Welcome back to Your Zest Life. I am your host, Genevieve, and I've got one of my favorite guests back today. I always feel like it's the same intro. I'm like, you know her, you love her. She's one of my favorite human beings. Aww. Lauren Lee from Calm Point. I finally feel like I'm making that transition smooth. No longer Inner Rebel, formerly known as Inner Rebel. Yeah. Calm Point, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? Yeah. Thank you for having
me. So good. I've been looking forward to this all week. I was telling you, it's just been one of those weeks where I'm struggling to get motivated to do anything. Mm-hmm. So this was nice to have today.
Yay. Yeah. I was excited for it too.
At least to get out of the house. I washed my hair. I didn't do anything else, but thank you. Thank you. How's your week been?
Good. It's been kind of busy and fun and just kind of a lot of things. This is the last week of my sabbatical.
It is?
Yes.
This has gone so fast.
Yeah. February went so fast.
February flew by, which usually February does not. February usually feels so long, even though it's one of the shortest months of the year.
Yeah.
It is the shortest month.
I know.
Yeah.
It's like, did it even happen? I feel like everybody's feeling like that. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It went by so fast.
Well, I went into February, and I kind of talked about this on another episode, but because February is one of my least favorite months, we've got all our introversions and it's just cold and always plays that trick on us where you get like a 60 degree weekend that we had last weekend and then are back in the 20s and 30s and it's just miserable. And so I told myself I was really going to focus on all the positive and finding ways to incorporate joy. So like spending time with you, and I know we've got some exciting things actually coming up. Which
let's share.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's do it.
We're doing Yoga Fort.
Yeah.
Which is so cool.
Yeah.
Have you been to any of the forts before?
I've been to the Kid Fort.
Okay.
And we went to when we first moved here in 2018, we went to a few of the daytime experiences. But other than that, no.
And that was the fort the year before. Was that the year before COVID?
You know, maybe it was. Maybe it was 2019. And then, COVID 2020, it was canceled. 2021, I was still should I go? Should I not?
It was still it was confusing.
Limbo. And then, boom, here we are.
And I'd been to Yoga fort one time.
Okay.
It was so cool.
Okay, cool.
And I've applied before, but I've never made it. And so when we made it this year, our text thread, I should have screenshot it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. What's happening?
We had just talked on the phone too. And then I saw the email and I messaged you back like, oh my God.
So cool.
It's actually happening.
And it's going to be really, and I'm sure we'll get, I always feel like I'm jumping ahead to what we're going to talk about.
You're
but
good.
We talk a lot about, if you want to call it manifesting or just speaking life into things that you want to happen. And I feel like we've talked about this before, but wanting to be at like a yoga festival. Mm-hmm. And this is starting.
It's happening.
It's happening.
Yeah.
And we started in 2019 doing like pop-up yoga and meditation classes. And now we have a DJ with us. It's so rad.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah. But I think that's what happens. You like plant the seeds, right? And then you're like the energetic match, which we'll talk about a little bit. But yeah, we're doing it. So Yoga Fort, Vibe and Flow class.
Yes. Saturday, March 26th at the Edelman.
Yes.
Edelman.
I'm just looking at you like, yep.
Mm-hmm, yep. Mm-hmm,
that's the one. Mm-hmm. I actually meant to look to see if like you could find us on Yoga Fort. Like
you can? Or well, you can find us on Tree Fort.
Okay.
I haven't Googled us for
I haven't either.
I just know because I Googled Emer to try to find his I'm gonna make the ticket thing today.
Okay.
And I was making your content for it and I was trying to find his logo and picture and I Googled him and Tree Fort popped up.
Really?
Yeah, I sent him the link. I said, look at you, you're a celebrity.
I love it. Oh my gosh, we'll have to look. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so should we share that the like beta class?
Yes. The pre-show for Yoga Fort.
Yeah. Is on March
12th. Yes. Dates are hard right now.
My brain.
When is everything?
March 12th. And we're going to do it at Source.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all the details to come. But it's really a small class, like 12 people, max 10, 12, 10 actually, including us.
Super intimate.
So 10 people, we're going to do yoga, meditation, live DJ music.
Yes.
It'll be so fun.
I got those incense that were burning, and it's been to the point where Luke walked in one day and he's like, wow, don't you just feel so calm? It's like, you look calm. I'm very calm.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's going to be fun. What else? I feel like I've just been focused on trying to surround myself with joyful people, joyful experiences, not being a winter person, doing like winter activities. So we went cross country skiing. Oh my gosh.
You were so brave. First of all, I have never been. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
This is.
You're brave.
I'm just going to follow her. Whatever she does, I'm going to do.
I'm glad you didn't follow me the whole time.
Oh no, but you gave me the best foundation because I was like, you know, I'm sure people like if there was like a camera, like an above view of like us, I'd just be dying laughing because I'm like so stiff with the arms and like the legs and like.
But going downhill.
That was fun though.
Okay, so I was looking back and I'm so bummed because we get up there and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It was 60 degrees down in Boise, so probably 30, mid 30s, like up there.
Mm-hmm.
Just blue skies.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't been cross country skiing since I was a little girl, like young. And I don't even think we were supposed to walk our skis up as far as we did. I was thinking back
to really?
I think that's where you're supposed to start.
Oh.
But we're walking our skis up the hill. I think you can do whatever you want, though.
Yeah.
Honestly, there's no rules.
Right.
And we just started skiing, and we're trying to get into the groove of it and figure it out. And we did. I think we found our groove. And then we get to that one hill.
It's a big climb.
And I'm thinking, I'm, like, trying to remember the things from when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And you're supposed to, like.
Oh, yeah. She had her, like, skis out to the side, like, making, like a V, like a really wide V. And I was like, oh, that must be what you have to do. I'm behind you, like, doing the same thing.
Yeah, trying that. Fell. We get to the very, very top of the hill, and I fall.
Mm-hmm.
You come to over to where I am. You lose a ski.
Yeah.
And it goes.
All the way back down.
All the way back down.
Completely gone. Out of sight. Bye.
Oh, my gosh. Those things are fast.
Yes.
And I have the video of you running down the hill to get the ski, and then you're running back up the hill. You have one ski. But I pressed I didn't press the record button until the end when, you know, when you have those videos where you're like, what were you even filming?
Yeah.
And it was just the snow. Like, I thought I pressed stop.
That's
and
the
I
worst.
I pressed start. I'm like, oh, I missed the best
I was so
part.
Proud.
You were so, the look on your face, you're like, I got it.
I got my ski.
Hitting my face today.
Like, it really went so fast, so quickly.
Oh, and that's it was probably like slow motion, but also really, really fast motion at this. Like your internal thought process was slow motion, but what was happening in life was happening so quickly.
Fast. I bet you, like, if anybody is listening and they have done this before, it's like a amateur move. You know, you like unclip and like you're at the top of
and then help your friend out
hill, and then you lose your ski. Like, yeah, so. But it was so fun.
It was so fun. And you didn't tell, because you told me you'd never been cross country
never.
Skiing. Never. But you didn't tell me you're a skier.
Yes, I have skied before.
So we get to the top. I'm like, let's take it said beginner's loop.
Yeah.
So there's like half of it you can take, the other half is beginners. So we thought we'd go down that way. And I was really humbled.
Oh, you were really, I mean, you were really cute. Like, I was just like,
you were so graceful. You like got off the path and just started to all of a sudden, like, where I looked at you at one point. I'm like, she lied. She's done this before. As I am like, how do I pizza? I'm running into the side of the mountain, into the cliff to try to stop me.
Oh my God. I'm laughing so hard because it's so, first of all, it's fun. And
it
you're
so
doing
fun.
Something brand new. And like, who knew?
It was so fun.
But I just cannot get the image. I can't, because you were like, I'm like at the down part of the hill. Like, I had gone down. I was like, oh, this is fun. And I look back and there's like just a line of trees and I just see this blue dart.
Like out of control.
Yes. Go down. And then like we had passed some people and they're like, I think she went down. She'll be a little bit.
Oh, I kept looking. So I fell. Oh, I think about five times.
I did feel for you though. Your butt.
Oh, teaching class the next day. My tailbone was so sore. And which, I mean, it was fine, like humbling, totally good.
Yes.
But like just a reminder that it's okay to be beginners at something.
Totally.
I think especially at our age, our age, at the ripe age of in our 30s.
Mm-hmm.
But just remembering to like try new things. I don't think that we challenge that muscle enough.
Yeah. Or get uncomfortable or like remember what it's like to begin again.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, I think you're right. I think we just kind of stay in our comfort zone. We stay with what we know.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, we kind of shut down when it's
new
or maybe we're not skilled yet at it. I mean, and I was like internally freaking out when I was like going really fast.
You didn't look like you're freaking out.
Once I was like, oh, okay, I can do this. Then it was fun to go fast. But yeah, I think having a skiing background, you are a snowboarder. So take me out on snowboarding and I will be reversed.
Been a little bit, but
you know?
Yeah, I did at one point. It's funny how we go back to those things that are comfortable. And I thought, oh, I should have just brought my snowshoes with me. As I'm walking down with my skis finally.
I know.
Like, I don't want to fall anymore. I'm going to
walking
gonna
sounds down. Good. Yeah.
It was nice. I did keep looking back at the trail. Like the people who come by after us are going to die laughing because you can tell all
it's
the spots where I've fallen and like walked on the track. But
you did great though.
It was fun.
It
and
was
that's
really
the most
fun.
Important thing.
It was fun.
It was fun. We had a lot to laugh about. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did you sleep well that night?
Yeah.
I slept so well.
Yes. And it was fun to get out. It was actually like hard work. So you got like a workout, but it was fun. It was a beautiful day.
So pretty.
Good company. Like we saw, you know, like people out there, like one guy with his kids pulling a trailer of
in his short sleeve shirt. I would have loved to have seen him going downhill.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Like, I don't even know how you
I don't
do
know
that.
How you do that with two kids towing behind you in skis.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I wonder if you turn around and that was perplexed. Mm-hmm. I was perplexed by that.
Yeah. Somebody else had told me about that. Like, oh, just bring your kids and then you can have this like trailer thing you put them in like you do for bicycles. And
yeah.
Okay, but
yeah,
I don't think I would ever do that, honestly, going down.
I don't think so. I think of when my mom and dad did their bike trip with me and I was just a couple years old, and they would have me in the trailer, and my mom even said, I mean, they were in their mid-late 20s, and she was thinking back, just the things we do when we're younger, like we're reckless. Mm-hmm. She said, we would be on these roads that were so remote, had no shoulder. And she said, and your dad said, sometimes I'd be going downhill doing a turn and one of your wheels would be off of the ground.
Oh my God.
She goes, I can't even imagine doing that now.
Oh my God.
Like, you know, but yeah. I don't know. You just take get risks. Adrenaline and, yeah. and I don't know, but.
And you're not thinking all the way through, I think, sometimes when you're like, mm-hmm. you know, especially in your 20s. I don't know. I didn't.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, they took a 2-year-old from Spokane to Mexico. I don't know. But
yeah, they were adventurous. Yeah.
Trusting your intuition.
Yeah, there you go. They knew.
They just knew. I think what one of my moments there, too, is when we were up on Saturday, is something that, like, I love being in this area is just the accessibility to outdoors. Mm-hmm. To outdoor activities. And even when I came back home, Luke said, I like got your bike ready for you because I wasn't sure if you'd want to have one of those typical Boise Aww. Spring days where you're up in the mountains in the morning and then you're riding your bike in the afternoon.
Oh my God.
So thoughtful.
Yeah.
But I love it because it's a nice escape mm-hmm. and it really brings you back to what's important. Mm-hmm. And you had come up with like this thought that you'd been, which I want you to explain because you do such a better job, but this like epiphany.
Yeah.
I want you to share it.
Okay. I feel like I always feel kind of corny because I'm like, I always come on here and I'm like so deep and like blah, blah, blah. You know, people are probably like, oh God, this girl. But I, every week I meet with a group of fellow meditation teachers and it's called a Sangha. So it's like a group of meditators, right? And each teacher each week will give what's called like a Dharma talk, which is a talk on a Buddhist philosophy or Buddhist principle. And it's really like for Buddhist meditation and teachers, anybody who's wants to join a Sangha can, like if you like Buddhist meditation. And so this one week, it was last week actually, and he's a teacher, he's a former preacher, and he's a Buddhist meditation teacher. He went through the training with me. We all came from that training. And his name is Augustine, and he's really, like, just deeply profound and, like, just his delivery. There's something about, like, his delivery and deliberate words. And, like, I don't know. It was, like, the whole scenario was really moving. But it's not like it was long, and it's not like he, like, had all these eloquent, you know, poetic things. It was just that moment and his deliberate word choices. He even got interrupted by somebody walking into his meeting room and so like the moment wasn't like entirely like perfect from a teacher's perspective. Mm. Right. So I think that's also just valuable to know, like when you're delivering something to somebody or you're teaching or you're with people, like it doesn't have to be perfect to be profound or impactful. Yeah. But he gave a talk about basically the awareness of your breath. And he titled it, "Take Me, Breath, Not for Granted." And like just that alone, I was like, whoa, this is going to be big. But as he kept talking, it was like literally like 1,000 light bulbs went off in my head. Like I was like, I get it now. I get the assignment. I get it. Okay, world, it's clear. And for me, it was just like, I get the assignment. Like we have to practice. We have to route back. We have to have something that allows us to remember you're breathing, you're alive. And you have a life force that's running through you. And when that's gone, it's gone. So like having a reverence for your breath is profound. And so it was his talk that really got me there. Of course, I've studied meditation. I've practiced meditation that focuses on your breath. I've guided people to do it. I have sat with it and, you know, studied and read books. But it was just like, I think sometimes you're just ready to really hear something. And so I just will never see the world the same. I know that's like kind of a big statement, but what I understood from that conversation and from his talk and from like my own like aha, like awareness was that if you have your breath, you have everything. Like what else are we actually wanting? What else do you need? Like you are alive, you have it. You have everything you need to be happy. And that's also a Buddhist principle and like something that Thich Nhat Hanh, which is he's a really popular, now he's passed on, but a monk, But he would say, in any moment, you have everything you need to be happy because you're breathing, you're alive, you're here. And happiness isn't out there. It's not an achievement. It's not a circumstance. Of course, things can make you laugh and have joy like we did, like out there cross-country skiing. But my source of happiness is not cross-country skiing, right? Like when that's gone, then I just am never happy again. No, my happiness is within. It's every breath that I take. I have a reverence for life. And so now, I mean, yeah, like even this morning, of course, the onslaught of news and updates and the concerns and things that we have to pay attention to that you're not going to just bypass. You're going to recognize how you feel about it. And in the same breath, I'm acknowledging I'm alive. I can be happy that I'm alive. I'm here. I can be of service. I can be helpful. My happiness is because of my breath that I'm still here. So it was profound for me to just get it. Like I finally get it. I get the assignment. I should never take my breath for granted, ever.
Which was such an interesting way when you put it in perspective. I know at the moment when you shared it, like you were kind of downplaying it, but I could tell like it was, you weren't downplaying it. You were saying how profound it was for you.
Yeah. But we were out there in the woods. I was like, Lauren, just.
But it was the right time and the place for it too. And it's, which was interesting because as a yoga instructor.
Yeah.
Or even as a meditation guide, one of your common cues is come back to your breath.
Yeah.
Or it's even a cue that I use in Cycle Bar when I'm teaching classes is if you start to feel overwhelmed, if you start to feel, you know, out of control, like come back to your breath.
Exactly.
Which for someone who like I've had panic attacks and, you know, and so sometimes when you say that, you want to avoid thinking about your breath because it almost brings too much focus to it. Mm-hmm. And so I always had a very like complicated understanding of it because just knowing that sometimes if I pay too much attention to my breath, it starts to feel like I'm trying to control and manipulate and stresses me out. And and then also, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it can sound very woo woo like, oh, your breath is everything. But when I really started thinking about it and I used it in one of my classes when I was coaching this week as a message that if you don't have your breath, you have nothing at all. Like it's the one thing that's required for anything else to exist.
Yeah. It backs everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're right. You can't enjoy cross-country skiing. You can't enjoy spending time with Lily. Mm-mm. You can't enjoy doing meditation because if your breath is not there, nothing else.
Yeah.
So when they say the greatest gift is when you wake up.
It is.
That was another thing too when people would say, oh, if you got to wake up today, it was a gift. And I really believe that. But sometimes you say it and you're like, this sounds hokey.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I know. I totally understand. Yeah.
Like, if you don't wake up with your breath, you wake up with nothing at all.
I know.
So it's kind of, again, deep, but like it just, that put things into perspective that if you want anything else to exist, you have to find gratitude for your breath because if it's not there,
you have nothing.
There's no life.
And that's what I mean by like, if you have your breath, you have everything.
Yes.
You really do. And I think that's what we're all ultimately like, you know, in some way, like fighting to maintain, which is, and we do it in a variety of things, not like, you know, necessarily just like physical fighting, which happens, but like we want to survive. We want to be here. We want to experience the things and we want the people around us to be here too. And this week on Calm Point, I wrote about it and I shared a story about when we first brought my daughter home, Lily home from the hospital. I remember, first of all, you're like, what? Like, I can take her home now? You know, like they just like hand her over. Like,
like you trust me to
I'm like, do this? Okay. And Darren really wanted to like go home early. And so, you know, they release us from the hospital and just cause it's not as comfortable as your home, we get home, we have a bassinet on the side of the bed. Have I told you this story before? And, so I was like nursing her in our bed and she fell asleep and then I put her in the bassinet. And so this is the first night that she's home in our home. And like we're fully responsible. And I remember Darren fell asleep and it's just me. And I'm looking at her in the bassinet like, okay, if I can just hear her breathing, I know everything is going to be okay. And so I lay down on like my side of the bed, but I can't see into the bassinet. I can just like see the side, and I'm just listening for the sound, like the rise and fall of her chest. And I'm listening to that exchange. And I'm like, okay, you know, if I can just maintain hearing that, everything will be okay. And then of course your mind is like, well, you're tired. You know, if you fall asleep, like who's going to be listening? Yeah. What happens if it stops? Like, how are you going to handle that heartbreak? And so I stayed up in the middle of the night as long as I possibly could that first night, just my hand on her chest or peeking in. And ultimately I would fall asleep and wake up and pop up and listen for that sound. And that was the first time I really realized like how important your breath is. It's really an exchange between you and God. Like, and that's it. You have no control. And it's really, I don't know. We just don't honor it. We don't, I mean, our life is so fast paced and like focusing on your breath is boring.
Yeah.
But it's not.
Yeah.
Until, you know, until you take time. Like I was telling my mom this yesterday, she was telling me a lot of things that are going on in our family. And I was like, well, we're here, we're breathing, you know? And of course she gives me a look like,
yeah,
breath, meditation, I get it, Lauren, but not the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know that it sounds like focusing on your breath, like you're saying, return to your breath. Remember your breath is like this. It's like boring, 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 boring. Ooh, what's that shiny thing? Boring, 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 until you get it.
Yeah.
Until you really get it. It's not, if you don't have it, you have nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that is continuous without us having to intentionally focus on it.
Mm-hmm. It asks nothing of you.
And we just kind of take that for granted.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one more thing about the, like, you know, I taught yoga and I got it, but didn't get it. Like I get it now, like return to your breath. Like when you're asking somebody to return to their breath, or the awareness of your breath, you're sinking the mind-body connection and you're dropping them into the present moment because our mind is built to wander and to figure things out. So you're asking somebody to come back to like what is actually experiencing in their life. And if you can follow your breath, like your breath will change when you're calm, when you're angry, when you're sad. And so if you can follow your breath through those, you can navigate through them. It's actually like a really good friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that. It's a good indicator of where you're at and like what your needs are.
Mm-hmm.
Which we'd kind of talked about this. Would you want to do a brief little meditation
to
kind of take us through that?
Yeah.
So if people can find a space that's comfortable and, you know, it'll be maybe like 5 minutes. But I think that'd be really nice.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Okay.
And the nice thing is we don't have dogs.
I know. Nobody's going to barge in. No kids. Okay. Go ahead and get into a comfortable place. You can pause this or you can return back to this in a time that feels really good. And you just wanted to get into a place that feels comfortable for you. So you can sit down, you can lay down. You want your comfort to be the priority. And you have full agency over your body. So if you prefer to have props or anything that offers you ease and comfort, I welcome you to do that. And if you close your eyes during your meditation practice, I invite you to gently close your eyes. And if you prefer to leave your eyes open, go ahead and have a soft gaze a few feet in front of you. Let's take a really gentle breath in and a gentle exhale. Just grounding us right here into the moment. Bringing our full awareness to the breath. Take a deep breath in and exhale. And here we acknowledge the transition we're making from whatever we were doing before to whatever we were thinking about and considering to being right here into this moment, to welcoming in a moment of ease, of presence, of stillness. And here I invite you just to begin to focus on the breath And with each inhale, you can repeat internally, let be. And with each exhale, you can repeat internally, begin again. Inhale, let be. Exhale, begin again. And in the next few moments of silence, repeat that internally, and I'll be minding the time. Inhale, let be. Exhale, begin again. Gently release those words and just focus on your breath without forcing or judging, just watching the breath move in and out of the body. Giving gratitude for each exchange. As you pull air in to replenish, and as you exhale out to give. And here we just acknowledge the precious privilege to be alive, to be here, to have the awareness of our breath, to find a moment of joy and gratitude for being here, for being in this moment. And here I invite just a few phrases for you. You can place your hands on your heart or leave them by your side, whatever feels good in your practice. May you have a lightness of being. May you live this day with ease. May you let go of any self-criticism or judgment. May you return to love. May you live fresh, solid, and free. When it feels good for you, go ahead and gently open the eyes. Maybe take a few big, deep breaths in and exhales. Maybe stretch the arms over the head. Whatever feels good for you right now. And welcome back from your meditation practice. How do you feel, Jen?
Oh my gosh. I, in the middle of that, felt like I was starting to get hypnotized.
Were you falling asleep?
I was so... I've told you this before where you're like the person, Luke and I do meditations in the morning, but we always prefer yours. Yeah, you just like put people into a trance. And in the middle of that, I did have like whatever you call the thoughts that come into your head while you're meditating.
Awareness.
You're like, I'll just acknowledge this thought and let it go. Yeah. But then I couldn't stop thinking about it for a second, like, maybe she is a hypnotist and she's going to make me do something really weird on the podcast and I'm going to say something weird or do something weird.
You know what's so funny? It's whenever I'm on like a professional mic, like, and I can hear it back, like whenever I'm in the recording studio versus like when I'm actually just recording at home, like even when I'm listening to my own voice, it's very like...
Soothes you.
Yeah. It's sometimes it's like an outer body experience. It's strange.
It's weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. But it's so nice. I don't even know how to carry on. I did think for a sec, I thought, if I just fall asleep, I know that the mics, I keep hitting my head on it today, is just going to catch me. So maybe I can sleep and she'll just take over the rest of the show.
I got it.
Oh my gosh. I got it from here. No, it was perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I mean, this mic is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quality.
Good job.
Oh.
Well, I hope that, you know, the meditation practice is of service. Yeah. And I think something just to recognize is like, you don't have to meditate for 40 minutes or, you know, the recommended time is 20 minutes a day. Like you can just take a few minutes. I think that was like under 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I think if people fast forwarded, because I know you can do that 30-second fast forward and you do it a few times.
Yes. And you're good. You're right back here.
But if you are listening right now, I don't know, and you skip the meditation, I would encourage you to go back because it's so nice to have that reminder even in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm feeling overwhelmed, if I'm feeling just not in a good headspace, doing even a few minutes of meditation or breath work
mm-hmm.
is so helpful.
Yeah, it's so helpful. You know what? Also, it's just something that's been kind of top of mind for me. But I think the greatest gift a meditation teacher can really ever do is like teach somebody how to meditate, guide themselves, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what I just did was really easy and anybody can do it. So like you're middle of the day and you're feeling overwhelmed or you were listening to the news and you're like, oh, my God, you know, it's you have some sort of automatic response to it. This is what you can do. You can gently just guide yourself and it doesn't have to be anything fancy. It's just you're going to close your eyes or leave them open. You can do it in the shower when you're driving. You're just this is you're basically the formula is you're going to connect to your breath, right? Like we were talking about. It's going to ground you into the moment. It's going to make this mind-body connection into the present. You're going to like for just a second park whatever you've been ruminating on or fantasizing about in the future, right? So it's you're going to connect yourself to your breath. You're going to connect yourself to your body, maybe make a few adjustments to just soften into the space. And then you're going to focus on your breath. You can use counting, like inhale, 1, 2, 3, 4, exhale, 1, 2, 3, 4. You could use what I suggested, which is on each inhale, you let something be, you like let something go. And the, you know, on the exhale, you begin again. You can repeat those phrases or you can just focus on your breath, like three deep breaths. And then those phrases, may I, blah, blah, blah. May I, blah, blah, blah. You could absolutely state them for yourself, whatever's important for you. So now you can close your eyes or keep them open, connect to your breath, take three deep breaths and state those may I statements that are meaningful to you in your life. May I be at peace. May I have a kinder view of myself. And then your meditation is done. So you can do that for yourself. You can do that for somebody else. You can do it for your dogs, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's nothing, I am not doing anything fantastic. This is out in the world already. It's been taught to thousands of people for thousands of years, and you can absolutely do it for yourself.
Well, what I think is so interesting about meditation or just even like just the ability to get into that state of mind, that state of conscious is our ability to tune inwards and to listen to like what our inner voice is saying and what our needs are. And so especially in the middle of the day, it can get a little chaotic. Or if you're at a time in your life right now where you're at a pivotal point and you're trying to decide, you know, we've been talking about intuition. And I know I'm curious kind of how you, what you think about this, but I don't really even think that I knew this at the time when it was happening. But when I think of pivotal times in my life, so when I, and that aligned with my yoga practice or my meditation practice, and I didn't really even think about this until you and I were talking about, like, how do you know what your intuition is? How do you know to trust your intuition?
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up with a mom who would talk a lot about intuition.
Oh, cool.
And just, like, trusting your gut. Mm-hmm. Trust your gut. Trust your intuition. You know, I think it came from traveling, being as just women, traveling, being aware of your surroundings. But my when I lived in New York or when I competed was probably when I was the most consistent with my yoga practice. Mm. And it was when I was very connected inwards.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I made the decision to, you know, continue to compete for Miss Idaho when I had lost year after year after year. And in New York, when I was trying to decide, like, do I stay in Manhattan or do I go on this yoga find myself journey?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the point of that being that, like, being able to be in a headspace, and I don't think I understood at the time really what was going on.
Mm.
But I felt like I could trust the choice I made, which were really like scary or like risky decisions.
Unknown, right?
Yeah. And yeah. I think that's what a lot of what we're in right now in the world is. There's a lot of unknown.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And like, what do I do? And I think when you can quiet everything outside and quiet as best as you can inwards, mm-hmm. like, I mean, have you had meditations where answers have just come up for like questions you've had?
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you?
Yeah. Well, the one that like comes to mind, I was actually thinking about it just the other day, which is funny that you asked the question. But I also want to just backtrack for 1 second. We were talking about like taking right spontaneous right action, which is like what you're talking about. Like you're in New York, like, do you do this? Do you do that? And you took this spontaneous, turned out to be right action, right? To answer your question, yeah, I think you can have ideas or creativity or solutions come at any time. It's, are you aware, right? Like, are you aware of like, oh, that's a brand new thought I have never thought before. Mm. I think we've talked about this before and I like it. I like this idea, right? But in meditation specifically, I remember when I started Inner Rebel, that name popped, you know, like it was like three words that came forward that would end up describing what an inner rebel was.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a really big eye opener that you could like go beyond your current thoughts and see something brand new, like, you know, be involved in your in the infinite possibilities and like something could arise. But I think really ultimately it's being aware. It's like, are you aware of, and that's what meditation is teaching you. You're focusing on your breath. You feel good. And if you sit in meditation longer than, or maybe, you know, you're cycling or whatever your practice is to bring you awareness of your mind, then you're starting to notice it in your everyday life. And, you know, it's becoming clear of your patterns, your reactions, and what responses you'd like to have. And it's not easy.
No.
It's practice.
Totally.
And you're making a conscious effort to not be hooked to everything you think. So I do think that, you know, meditation can help you in terms of solutions or taking, getting confident in being able to take spontaneous right action.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of trust too, like trusting that you will make the choice or the decision that is best going to support the road that you're supposed to go on.
Mm-hmm. And that's not always easy.
No.
It's not always easy to trust yourself.
Totally.
Yeah, and that's an interesting thing. I think that's a muscle and a confidence you develop over time, and it can start really small. Mm-hmm. You know, you can wake up in the morning and ask yourself, do I really want this cup of coffee? Is this like feel good for me intuitively? Do I want this and need this? If it's a resounding no, you're just reacting from this place of habit
or
you know, what you've been told to do. So could you just in the morning check into your intuition of what you want to eat? Like start there.
Yes, which would change so many. This is like the coach in me coming out, but it would change so many people's lives if we could learn how to trust ourselves and use our intuition and just honestly slow down, be much more in tune with the decisions we're making. And I think it even like starts at a young age where trust, like letting your kids mess up, letting your kids make decisions for themselves. Mm-hmm. And learn from the consequences. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, going back to Lily, like, obviously you want to protect them from any sort of harm or hurt. Mm-hmm. But I've watched you and Darren where you just kind of let her, you know, you don't let her, like, do a free-for-all. But, I mean, you and then I think of my friend Rachel who does a sensory project, just lets her kid make messes.
Yeah.
And be curious and explore. And I feel like you guys do the same with Lily where it's, like, okay, let's be adventurous. And that's what I reflect back with my parents, going for hikes and just, you know, choosing. I mean, going for a hike and just letting your kids choose a certain direction.
Yeah.
And like trusting, or those choose your own adventures, like just using that outlet in your mind that allows you to be curious about different outcomes and not expect a perfect outcome out of it. Understand that you're allowed to redirect and that nothing is permanent.
Right. Totally. You can also just start by taking like intuitive walks by like, you know, same thing, like a hike, like you're going in some direction, you feel like an intuitive pull to go a certain direction. So you go that direction and, you know, it leads you to something else, which intuitively pulls you, you know, to whatever.
So cool.
Yeah. And I think it's just a soft entrance into saying, you don't have to make like these big life decisions, but you can just start to feel internally, what does it feel like for me to be like, I'm feeling a pull towards a certain direction, or this really lights me up. This brings peace in my life. Let me just follow it for a second.
That reminds me of that episode or the scene in Serendipity.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
She's trying to control. It's kind of a weird movie now. It used to be one of my favorite movies. Yeah. Let me watch it back. Isn't after it with being the book? Married. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I told Luke, I'm like, if I found out that we were getting married and you were trying to find another woman, this is weird. But the scene's really cool. It's her and her friend, and they're in Manhattan, and she's been looking all over for this guy that she met however many years ago and trying to take like fate into her own hands. But
yeah,
finally she's like, you know what? We're just going to let it go. And I'm going to let you make all the choices. And Molly. What's the
from Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, from Saturday Live. She's like, we're going this way. Yeah. You know, and that was, I mean, when I traveled in Asia, I didn't have a plan.
Yeah.
I knew how long I was going to be gone for. I knew I had a ticket out of Cambodia to France to see my sister, but so that was it. And so it was like, it was a very choose your own adventure. Like, what hostel am I going to stay in this week? And I mean, I ended up meeting some of my closest friends. I ended up deciding to go home, move back home on that trip. And it just, so many like pivotal life changes or directions and lessons that I learned that I knew I needed to learn to be who I am now. That's going really deep. But
no, but that's so cool. I mean, I think people entertain the idea of letting go, of surrendering, of trusting, of being intuitive, of being creative, of being in a learning state when you're on vacation.
Yes, because then you move home. Yeah. And I felt like I was a different person there. Like,
sure you were.
Fearless and just trusting, but also very aware. And I think I was that way when I moved home, but you don't have as many opportunities when you're, you know, what's
it's
that?
It's not quote? As new, right?
Yeah, it's like very safe. And anyways, I feel like this is something so helpful for people, though, especially I think change is the one constant thing that we have in life. Mm-hmm. And when change is not in our control, trusting your gut, like using your intuition of what do I need to do now? And if that's too big and you're like, I don't really have change going on, even just like you said, from choosing what you eat for breakfast and choosing empowering habits that are going to support you and how you want to feel in the day that you want to be having.
Yeah, I think it's just ultimately comes down to like you're saying, empowerment. And I don't know why we feel like we don't have a lot of abilities.
Yeah.
Like, but, you know, ultimately, like we do have, you can make some really important decisions for yourself by trusting what feels right. And I mean, this is a really like a Buddhist principle, but it applies for everybody, no matter what. But it's, you're really guiding yourself to your own well-being. So you're conscious enough, you're aware enough to guide yourself, to make choices, to make, you know, focus on thoughts, to make partnerships, to have friends, to take vacation, whatever it is you're thinking about, work that leads you to your own well-being. Like we want to point yourself out from ill-being towards well-being. And I think your intuition can definitely help you.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Gosh, I always love having you on here. There's always good laughs. I always walk away with some sort of nugget of knowledge. And today we get a meditation, which I'm excited because I'll go back to and listen to that with Luke. But I feel like everyone knows you, but if someone's a new listener, they don't know that you did a transition from Interrebel to Calm Point. Mm-hmm. Where can they find you and how can they sign up for your newsletter?
Yes, thank you. Calmpoint.substack.com. So that's where the newsletter is. It's totally free. It's every Wednesday. It goes out. It's a letter from me, but also a powerful pause, which is meditation practice, so weekly meditation practice, and then inward reflections. So just going deeper on whatever the topic is. So every week has a topic. Next week is about forgiveness. This one was about the awareness of your breath. And I've talked about like new beginnings and love and kindness and all kinds of things. So calmpoint.substack.com. And then, yeah, you know, social media and stuff like that. But Calmpoint, yes.
I love
that's
that.
That's the place.
I love it. And you can find us at Yoga Fort March 26th.
What?
You can sign up, get your Yoga Fort pass. You can either get a day pass. You can get it just for Yoga Fort, or you can get the whole package for Tree Fort. And then March 12th, we'll have that little sequel. And I think we'll be doing more yoga and meditation classes.
Cause I think so, too.
I'm just ready for in-person.
Me, too. Yeah. I know. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Yes. All right, Life Zesters, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Go out there, do something that empowers you. Go do something that brings you joy. And I'll catch you next time. All right, thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode brought some zest into your life. And if you think this podcast will bring value to someone else, please feel free to share. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. You can also find more insight on my Instagram at Genevieve_Nuttinghoworth and click the link in this episode's description where you can find my website. All right, I can't wait to rally with you next week.